from the Kiss 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
It's Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Powered by Air Transat.
So there's a new study, and I had a tie on yesterday, and again, I'm a little bit bloated from the vacation week.
You look fabulous.
Thank you, Maury. And the study is that a tie that is too tight around your neck can cut blood flow to your head by 8%.
What?
8%. They say wearing one constricts the veins to your neck so much that it can reduce blood flow to the person's brain by 8%. That's enough to potentially slow down your brain's processing power, or worse, in worst case scenario, even cause a stroke.
Oh my God, and you wear a tie every day.
I know, but for me, it's not the tie that's too tight. It's always the shirt that's too tight.
Yeah.
It's always an ill-fitting shirt. Nobody will do their tie up too tight. It's always squeezing your fat neck into a shirt that you shouldn't be wearing
and
anymore.
And the pants.
Right? Not the pants, Maury.
It's like, and the pants, and the socks, and the shoes.
Okay, it's not the pants, you dingbat.
Do you want me to undo this? This is my dad did this.
He did what? He
my
tied
dad
it up
tied
for you?
This, yeah.
Let me see it.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you mean your dad did it?
All my ties are done by my dad.
Yeah.
You don't know how to tie?
No.
I have this too. I keep ties like this too in my dressing room where I'm going to undo it though.
I got to drive to Burlington
also,
and talk to Frank to redo my tie.
Your dad did this in a way of where as soon as you undo it, it turns into a big giant knot. Okay. Look at how crinkly that tie is.
Oh no.
It's been like that for like years.
Looks like a piece of paper that you just uncrinkled.
I know. There you go. Looks like a whip.
Now, do you want me to try and do this?
Yeah, do you know how to tie a tie?
No.
We've done this before. Have you not learned since the last time we did this?
No, because all the ties are tied.
Right.
What?
Okay.
Okay, so what did you just do there? Describe
okay,
what
so
you're doing.
Bless you. So it's around my neck with the fat end on the left and the skinny end on the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then my understanding is you put fat over skinny.
Right.
And then fat loops around and fat then sort of
loops
around skinny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fat goes around skinny.
First of all, can you just pause for 1 second?
Yeah.
Maury is doing all this, by the way, for anybody who's listening. Maury's folding like the over and under. He's doing all the mechanics of putting a tie together below his nipples, like just above his belly button. So you can imagine what this tie is going to look like when it's done. Okay, continue.
Okay.
Maury.
So fat over skinny.
Yeah.
Fat loops around skinny and pushes its way through fat and skinny.
Okay.
Right. So now fat is looped over skinny.
Okay.
And then my understanding
But also fat's touching fat now.
Yeah, so fat and skinny is sort of tucked around on the side.
All right. Look at how long that back part is, Maury. How are you going to fix that problem?
I don't know. Okay, so then you shimmy it.
Okay.
So then now tip of fat
goes
loops through, kind of nodding through itself.
Okay, so Maury just took anybody who's listening right now. Maury flipped the fat part over the skinny part, looped the fat part over the skinny part of the fat part, and then took the tip of the fat part and rammed it upwards through the loop of the skinny part.
Yeah,
upwards.
Now you
instead of going down, Maury went up.
Now you sort of fist the knot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Let me try again. Okay.
Like, I would say that...
Okay.
I was, geez, it's not, like, you couldn't even, like, I could understand if you were used to just wearing, like, a neckerchief or something like that.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to have to come around me and walk me
through
this.
I'm not doing anything behind you.
You're going to have to loop around me.
No, I'm not. Okay, one more time, Maury.
Okay. Fat over
even it
skinny.
Out though, because you know that the skinny part has to be shorter than the fat part.
There, it's even.
Okay, yeah. So should it be even though? Like, think of the logic in this. Should it be even?
No.
What does a tie look like once it's finally tied?
Tied, but it's
tied was your answer. What does a tie look like when it's finally tied? Got it. Tied. Okay.
Okay. So let's just assume you're right. And then the fat needs to be shorter than the skinny.
No, that is not at all.
Skinny opposite.
Opposite?
Yes, sir.
Oh, because of the knots take up space.
Interesting point.
Okay. Fat over skinny.
Fat over skinny.
fat shimmies its way around skinny.
Yeah. Okay. Maury's tying a tie, by the way, if you're just joining us. Good morning.
And then...
trying to.
And then take fat, push it through the bottom of the skinny.
You just undid the whole thing.
Now you got your arm stuck.
Now... Man. Now your face is red and your neck is twice the size.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't even think a YouTube fat video could skinny. Help you.
Yeah.
Fat pushes its way through the skinny.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
what did you do? Like, did you ever go to a dance at school or any sort of formal thing that you had to wear a tie or...
No. I mean, I remember growing up, I had a clip-on tie.
No.
My bar mitzvah was a clip-on. Okay, fat over skinny.
Yeah.
Skinny wraps its way around the fat.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you push the fat through the skinny.
Yeah, and then it's undone again completely. It's like a magic trick you're doing, Maury.
Is this a riddle?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, one more time.
One more time, please.
For God's sake.
Fat over skinny.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Fat pushes its way through the skinny.
Yeah.
Maybe you take the skinny and push it through the fat.
Okay. Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. And then. Oh, my God. You almost have it. You almost have it. You almost have it.
And then you put the fat through the knot of the skinny.
Yeah. You almost have it. Look at that.
Look at that.
That's an absolute disaster. It's an absolute disaster. It's an absolute disaster.
It looks like you got like 10 rubber bands
that have all
got intertwined with one another. Dude, that is the absolute worst looking tie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Question. If I asked you to come up with a list of the most comforting sounds, any sounds, what would be on that list?
The most comforting sounds.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Crickets you find comforting.
Oh. Waves.
Waves.
Like on a beach.
100% I'm with you on that. I will also say, you will not get this, but one day you will. I will also say, to me, the most comforting sound is a kid sleeping.
A kid sleeping?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no noise.
Yeah. Well, no, they do, because kids are loud when they sleep. Like a kid breathing.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I know it sounds weird.
Very weird.
I know it sounds weird, but if I see, like, if I have a chance to where my kid is sleeping,
yeah,
whether she crawls in the bed with me or I just flop on her bed,
sure,
if she's doing that kid breathing thing, I will curl up so close to her.
Does it sound like you can do it?
No, I can't do it because it's I don't know. Because
I'm a grown man. I'm not a kid.
No, yeah, I don't have it. It would sound weird if I did it, but kid sleeping would be on my list. Waves, okay. 100%. Okay, you're right. Crackling fire. That's a big comforting sound. So they come up with list of where the top 8 most comforting sounds.
Okay.
And some of these, I don't know who would vote for this. Okay, what? So at number 8, somebody humming.
Humming?
Humming.
Really?
Oh, that's different.
No. You know something scurry is about to happen.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Babadook's about to knock on the door. So here, ready? Go back to the beginning of that for me for a second.
This sat like here. Right before murder is about to happen.
Okay, we'll change this, okay? So go back to the beginning. Babadook.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a horror movie.
Of course it
is. Okay, next on the list. Oh my God, trains.
No, it gives me anxiety.
Does it? Yeah. Trains give you anxiety.
I don't know. It's like... it's too busy.
Really? Just too much going on?
Way too much. Like, I feel like I should be on that train. Like, I miss my train or something.
Okay. The sound of the shower running is at number 6. These are the most comforting sounds, by the way. I don't know if I find that comforting.
I find it more like sexy.
Sexy, Maury says, for shower running. At number 5, we don't have this on tape because at number 5 is just simply silence. All right, there we go. At number 4, the sound of the wind. Rain on the window is what it is. Rain on the window. I love this sound.
You know, I will say, yes, rain outside.
Yeah.
It actually is nice.
Yeah, I love the sound of rain. Okay. At number 3, the television. Which we don't. Why would you do that? We all know what a television sounds like.
Okay.
At number two, this is a list of the eight most comforting sounds. The eight most comforting sounds. At number two is the radio.
Okay.
Anytime Roz's voice is on.
Right. Oh, thank you very much, Maury.
Wow.
Not needed, but definitely appreciate it. So at number two is the radio. And at number one, the most comforting sound.
Yeah.
Birds tweeting.
I guess. Like, it's nice. I wouldn't say comforting. It's nice.
Yeah, until a crow shows up and just ruins everything.
Eats all of them.
Meh.
It's nice, not comforting.
Meh.
Right?
Meh.
Number one on my list would be
waves. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Right? Ocean waves.
How about the sound of the fridge?
The fridge? Like the opening and closing of the door or when the fridge kicks in?
The motor.
The motor.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
98 years ago, in 1918, Margaret Owen
York City. 98 years ago.
Shut your...
My mom was about to give birth to me.
Shut your hole. Shut it. 98 years ago, in 1918, Margaret Owen in New York City set a typing speed record on a manual typewriter.
Oh, my God.
Of doing 170 words in 1 minute.
170?
Yeah, 170 words in 1 minute. Now, imagine this, okay, everybody right now. Maury, come in here, please. I need you for this. Okay, so imagine this. 170 words in 1 minute with no errors.
What?
Come here for a sec, Maury. Let me open up Microsoft Word 2013 because I like to stay current. As a millennial, I like to be on top of all the new tech.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Maury, saddle up here to... here, I'll even let you... Don't get... I'm going to let you use my microphone, but don't get too close to it, okay?
Do I need the timer here?
Oh, yes, please. You have a timer? Oh, God. Maury just put his back on me.
I thought you were going to say his belly on the...
Maury just put his back on me. Okay, so Maura, you have 1 minute, and Mocha's going to tell you when. You just start typing. Could be anything. It cannot be gibberish. You have to actually type something. We'll go through, do a word count at the end of the minute. I will read what you have, and then I will also count up your errors, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Mocha, you let Maury know.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, stop rubbing me, dude, honestly.
I need to sit a bit.
No.
That's what she said. All right, in 3, 2, 1. And it can't be the same word over and over again.
No, it's got to actually be like a thing.
Yeah. 15 seconds so far. I want to know what he's writing.
Maury's doing like a lot of backspacing and like correcting and stuff like that.
Oh, you're not allowed to do that though.
Oh yeah, Maury, you're not allowed to backspace.
Why can't I backspace?
Because she couldn't backspace. No, we got to start over. We got to start over, dude.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you're not allowed to backspace.
It was
you're the one that said there's no backspace.
Shh, okay. Go.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
And go.
Maury?
Yes.
Keep typing.
Keep going, dude. Come on. That's what she said.
It's so funny. I have my hand over top of the backspace button.
Yeah.
And every now and then, Maury's ring finger strokes my thumb because it's looking for the backspace button. It feels so weird. Yeah. It feels so weird.
Can I just tell you from this angle, you guys look.
I know, because Maury's standing. Okay, so just so you know, we have high desks in here, right? So Maury's actually standing at my computer, typing this out.
Up on you.
And I'm standing behind Maury with my arms. I'm sitting behind Maury with my arms wrapped around him, with my thumb on the top of the space bar.
You know what? You know what it looks like?
Yeah.
Like you're on stage, about to do like a ventriloquist. Oh, stop! A ventriloquist performance.
Okay. So Maury did 69 words.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me read this to you here.
Okay.
So first of all, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 mistakes. Now these are mistakes that are spelling errors. There's 69 words.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, there's not one capital, not one comma, not one period.
Oh my God.
Let me read this to you. I'm sitting here with my butt titching R5OZING Rozzing. leg with two G's.
Leg.
There is a Boz of Coco Mikes. I guess that's cookies over there that I would love to cassin, to heat cassin. You imagine what, oof, this is supposed to be people, but it's spelled P-O-E-I-O-O-L-E. Pyool.
Pyool, okay.
Pyool. Would think with a J-I-F-G. I were to eat all those cookies again, spelt C-O-O-K-I-E-S-N.
Cookies.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wish I could win at the, I guess this is Monopoly, but it's spelt Manopy, M-A-O-N-O-P-Y game at McDonald's. Mick spelt M-I-C-C.
Oh, Mike.
I can't stop laguing, laughing. L-A-U-G-I-U-N-G, as I hear Roz with an X, spreath, it's breath with an S, spreath, in my eat. I imagine it to say ear.
Spreath.
My spreath in my eat. I can feel your spreath in my eat.
Oh, my God.
69 words, Maury, you did not beat the record.
But congratulations. I'm sure that must have taken a lot of spreath out of you.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Let's talk about Air Transat and Air Transat's gourmet meals on their flights. The breakfasts are created by celebrity Quebec chef Daniel Vezina. Now, each meal is served with salad, desserts, and a glass of wine. Each breakfast is served with a plain croissant, yogurt, orange juice, and coffee. The chef's manual by Daniel Vezina is included when you fly in club class on Air Transat. And if you get the opportunity, I'm telling you, it is so worth it to fly club class on Air Transat. Not just because of the meal, but because of everything else. It's just, it's a fantastic seat. You get the bigger, like the screen in front of you is like bigger. The seat is bigger. It's comfortable. It's just a different experience and it is affordable. Now, when it comes to the meals, don't worry about it. If you are flying in economy class, there are a certain number of these meals from the special chef's menu that are available as long as you reserve it 72 hours before your flight. Okay, so all you got to do is hit up airtransat.com for more on the chef's menu by Daniel Vezina.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Our original plan was to bring a Ouija board into the studio. And then my mom freaked out because she didn't want me messing around with the Ouija board because she believes in ghosts and Ouija boards. And then our boss freaked out and was like, guys, whatever you do, just do me a favor. Have a ton of fun, but please don't bring a Ouija board into this building. So we got a Ouija board and sent it home with Maury so he and Matthew could mess around with the Ouija board and hopefully talk to some ghosts and get a good story out of it. Because it's Halloween week. That's what you do.
So Toronto, we present to you the Dammits and a Ouija board.
Check, check. Just can you get the matches to light the candle?
I'm a little concerned because I have oil on my hands right now.
Can you get the matches for the candle and turn off the light? Alright, so seriously though, have you ever done this before?
No, I have not done this, and if I've done it, I was like four.
Okay, so put your hand, fingertips
That's
on the other
bad parenting.
End.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh,
clear
God.
Your mind.
I can't clear my mind. I live with you.
Clear your mind. We're going to do the Ouija board. Okay, so is there anyone in the room that wants to communicate with us?
No, there's no one in the room that wants to communicate. Wait, where are you moving this to?
I'm not moving anything.
Yes, you are.
I didn't touch it. It went to yes.
No, you moved
I didn't
it.
Touch this. I thought you were pushing it.
No.
I'm serious.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Wait, here, let's call it again. Is there anyone in the room that wants to talk to us?
It's already on, yes.
Oh. This is very aggressive Ouija-ing. Right?
You're supposed to be calm.
That's what I thought. Like, I
and
thought,
like a little bit relaxed.
Like, I thought when you talk to a Ouija board, you're supposed to be like, I don't know, just call it Ouija? Like, Ouija, are you there? Ouija? Ouija. Ouija. Not,
all aggressive.
It's already on, yes.
Okay, great. Do you hear any talking?
No, that's how they communicate through this.
Talking?
What is the first initial of your name? T.
T, I don't...
Your Uncle Tony?
Really? Okay.
Right? Uncle Tony.
That's not funny, you know.
I'm not this. It's doing it on its own. Are we moving this for you, or are you doing it yourself? Are you here in anger?
Are you here in anger?
Oh, snap.
I'm sorry. This is such bull.
It says no. Is there anything that you want to say to us?
Yes, please do tell.
He didn't answer that one. Is there anyone else in the room that wants to communicate to us?
Oh my God, Maury, Andy Warhol wants to talk to you.
You can't even take this seriously.
No, I can't.
People have done this for centuries, and they talk to the dead. This is how they learn stuff.
They're in a psychic ward now. Or not a psychic ward, what do you call it? Psychiatry.
Do you want me to ask the last question?
Yes, ask the last question. Let's be done with this.
Will we be dying soon?
What? Are you out of your mind?
Do you want to know about death? Does death scare you?
Yes.
Should we try this again?
No, we don't need to try this. This is a scam. I don't think there is a right way to do this.
Yeah, you're not believing.
No, I don't believe in this.
Like, it's moved a couple times and you're not believing in it. You're making a mockery of the dead.
No, I'm making a mockery of this Ouija board or Ouija.
Do you want to keep going?
No, I don't want to keep going.
I'm actually quite scared.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Going through a list of some of the places in Toronto that are haunted. Did you know Queen's Park in Toronto? Do you know that before it was the Ontario legislature, the grounds of Queen's Park belonged to a psychiatric hospital? Still does, if you ask me. And that three former female inmates, they say, still roam the current building in their ghostly form.
Rowena from the Haunted Walk Tour.
Oh.
Right here in Toronto joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show.
It's Toronto. Thanks. Haunted.
Yeah.
Please. So I don't believe in any of this stuff, and I never have. I can't believe I work with two people that believe in ghosts.
Sometimes I believe. Sometimes.
You can't sometimes believe in ghosts. You either believe in ghosts or you don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah, sometimes.
I wouldn't say that. I think you can kind of be in the middle.
You can't be in the middle of believing in ghosts. That's like being in the middle of being gay. You're gay or you're not gay. You either believe in ghosts or you don't believe in ghosts, right?
I don't know. I mean, I would say that I believe in the possibility of them rather than believing in ghosts themselves.
You
so I wouldn't outright say I believe
in. Yeah, me too. That's what I do.
Okay.
That's
what
there you go. So two people who are in the middle.
Why am I not doing Dracula? Why am I not doing Dracula voice? I would love it if you could tell a tale or your best story of Toronto. I would love nothing more, even though I don't believe, I would love nothing more than for you to freak us out with something that maybe we don't even know about a part of this city. Like, what's the one that just breaks people apart?
I will tell you about Mackenzie House.
What's that?
Mackenzie House is a museum these days. It was the home of the first mayor.
Okay.
William Lyon Mackenzie, just before he died, and he actually died in the house.
Uh-oh. People don't like that.
No.
Yeah.
And so because it had so much history to it, they wanted to keep it open as a museum. So in the 1960s, they started having caretakers live there to keep an eye on it. And there was this family called the Edmonds that had all these pretty creepy experiences. They would keep seeing a man and a woman around the house, and the man really matched the description of William Lyon Mackenzie. But he didn't cause them too many problems. It was more the woman that sort of freaked them out. The scariest part of it was Mrs. Edmonds would wake up in the middle of the night, and this woman would actually be like hanging down above her while she's sleeping.
What?
Yeah. And she would kind of reach out like she was going to touch Mrs. Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
But then she would just always disappear. So this keeps happening again and again. And Mrs. Edmonds finally says, you know what? I am going to confront this and figure out what's going on. And she decided she was going to sit up in bed the next time that it happened. Yeah. So this woman appeared above her, as per usual, kind of hanging down, this long dark hair draping down over her shoulders. Mrs. Edmonds sat herself up in bed. And there was kind of this pause, and then the ghost just slaps her right across the face.
Get out of here!
And then she vanished right before her eyes. At that point, Mrs. Edmonds wakes up her husband. She's got this purple, swollen mark on her face.
Come on.
That was pretty much when they decided they were going to move out.
Roz and Mocha, Kiss 92.5 on Halloween. We're sitting here with Rowena of the Haunted Walk Tour from right here in Toronto.
Do you get more absolute believers or do you get people who are looking to just be convinced?
We get a complete mix of people. Yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of what we do. It's not something that's necessarily geared towards complete believers or total skeptics. We kind of have everyone in between because we're also interested in the history that goes behind a place. So why could a place be haunted? Mm-hmm. So we tell that as well, and we focus on that whole aspect. And I mean, whether you're a skeptic or not, sometimes it's fun to hear a good ghost story. It's kind of that mystery, I think, that really makes people interested.
Is there a part of Toronto that is the most haunted or that you hear of even now that weird things are happening?
I would say the Distillery District.
Yeah.
And we have our office there, so that's always
haunted by hipsters.
Good one.
Maybe these days.
The Distillery District is interesting because it's fairly new to the city. It's always been there, but people never really went there for any. You never had any real reason.
No,
to
it really only opened up to the public starting in around 2003.
Yeah.
And before that, it was just very closed off and you didn't have any access there.
Is it all old ghosts that are haunting people or are there new ghosts? Do you know what I mean?
I think there are definitely some newer ghosts. We have a specific policy where we try to keep it so we're giving 50 years in between a death. And
why is that?
The story.
So they don't come after you?
More so the families are able to...
Oh, fair enough.
Sort of, I guess. Not be upset with us for telling those stories. We like to give it a little bit of time before we'll share.
Do you hear about stuff that is more recent that you won't put on the tour and you won't talk about? Are you holding on to some stories that you can't wait for that 50-year mark to happen?
Less so waiting for there to be stories that we can reveal, but more so waiting to see if things shake up a little bit, I guess, as a result, and if any ghost stories do occur from them.
Have you ever experienced any type of paranormal activity?
I used to work at our Kingston location, and we did tours up at Fort Henry there, which is just an old, creepy fort, and we did do sleepovers there, so that was pretty fun. One of the stories that we told was about this room, and when you're up on the ramparts kind of looking down into the fort, you can see into this room, and there were two guides who had their groups up there. They'd seen a man in a uniform sitting in the room, and he stood up, walked to the door, and clearly walked through the door, but then nobody came out on the other side. So one night I was going to try to tell this story, and I looked down at this room just to make sure the lights were on, to make sure everything was set, to be able to tell it well, and saw a man in a uniform sitting in the room. So of course, knowing what the story is that I'm about to tell, I'm just kind of looking around going, what am I looking at right now? And I looked back and there was no one there. So I told the story as per usual, and I said, you know, it's really weird to tell you this story right now, just because I swear when I was walking over here, I looked down and I saw a man in the uniform sitting in that room. And that woman who had been kind of walking in closer behind me looked me dead in the eyes and said, I saw him too.
My mom swore that one of our houses growing up was haunted. I guess a woman maybe died in the house too.
I think
I lived in one of those houses where somebody died in it. And my mom swore like she would wake up and like the house would be in flames. And she'd just be like lying in bed. And she used to talk to this. She said she used to talk to this ghost to like calm her down. It was weird. I was like a child. My mom would tell me these stories. What a horrible person. Now that I think about it, now the words coming out of my mouth as an adult, I realize how horrible my mother was to me when I was a child.
Oh my God.
So how do people get a hold of you and the walking tour? Is it hauntedwalk.com?
That is our website.
That's the website. Well, thank you so much for coming in on Halloween to freak Mocha and Maury out a little bit.
I'm good.
You're good, Mocha?
I believe in, what is it you said? I believe
the possibility.
Yeah, that's it.
Our tagline is, do I believe in ghosts? No, but I am afraid of them.
There you go.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
40 years ago today, the original Halloween was released.
Oh, wow.
And oftentimes when we mark these anniversaries of these classic films, we like to step back into the Johnny Depp School of Acting.
Oh my God, I love this!
The Johnny Depp School of Acting, there was an article a few years ago that claimed that Johnny Depp was just too out there and too busy and famous and all this other stuff to bother to learn his lines for his films. And so the arrangement that he had was he would show up on set and he would wear a small earpiece in his ear, and then somebody offset would have his script and they would feed him his lines into his ear.
Yeah.
And that's how he would do his movies, which we discovered was incredibly difficult. So we're going to do a scene from Halloween right now.
Oh.
Mocha, you have your script in front of you. Maury has no script, so I will be feeding Maury's lines to him through an earpiece. Maury, test, test, test. You can hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So Mocha, you will be playing Brackett, and Maury, you will be playing Dr. Loomis. This is when we first hear Loomis talk about his relationship with Michael Myers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, gentlemen, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Maury, are you ready?
Yeah.
Mocha?
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny Depp School of Acting, Halloween edition, 40-year anniversary. And take one and action.
I suppose they do seem a bit sinister, like a doctor.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I broke character. I really, really broke character. I apologize. Can we start again?
Yes.
I promise it won't happen again. I know.
Okay.
We're wasting time.
Okay.
It's my bad.
Johnny Depp School of Acting, Halloween, 40-year anniversary. Mori Amoka, take two, and action.
I suppose it's sort of like a doctor.
Looks like, to me, you're just plain scared.
I hear you. I met a 15-year-old. 15, there's nothing left. There's no conscience. There's no reason, no understanding. There's most of room and death and a wrong and a right and a wrong. And a 60-year-old boy, like a blank, cold, emotionless face. And, you know, black is high as the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to, 8 years to reach him. And I wanted to grab him and lock him away. And he was lit. He was lit. He was evil.
Okay. That did not sound like it was a scene out of the movie Halloween, because the only words that made sense to me were when you said, I met him 15 years ago. He was a 6-year-old boy. I wanted to lock him up in a room.
All I heard was boy, 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 boy.
Can we try again?
Yes. Okay. Johnny Depp School of Acting, Halloween edition. Mori Amoka, take three and action.
I suppose they do look a bit sinister, like a doctor.
It looks like to me, like you're just plain scared.
I am. I'm a 15-year-old. 15 years ago, I was told there was nothing left, no conscience, no reason, no understanding, and a most rude and intention, the wrong, a right, a wrong. Like I met a 6-year-old boy with a blank hole. And a pack of eyes. The devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and trying to keep him locked away. When I realized that he was leaving behind that boy, I was simply evil.
It's very difficult.
I don't know, guys. I think we got a good one there.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
But Jamie Oliver was in town with his new show, 15-Minute Meals.
For real.
Dan Mori hanging out with Jamie Oliver yesterday.
Jamie Oliver, dude, how are you, man?
It's always a pleasure to see you. You are quite famous in your own right, and I feel like I should be interviewing you today.
I would love that, but I really know nothing about cooking, so we'll keep it to me asking you.
Fix that, brother. We need to fix that.
Yeah. Look who's best friends all of a sudden with Jamie Oliver.
That's good, man. I like that.
Okay, so Jamie, I don't want to sound racist by any means, but would you say that...
Okay. That is usually the thing that somebody says right before they say something wildly racist.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not racist or anything.
Okay.
I know a lot of black people.
Okay, here we go.
I have a lot of white friends, and I'm not racist.
Okay, so Jamie, I don't want to sound racist by any means, but would you say that casserole is the whitest food, or maybe pierogies?
Oh.
He's so uncomfortable at this point.
Do we still have that list when we did that? Because we did that years ago of what the whitest foods were. What else was on that list? Oh, lemon meringue pie?
Yo, no joke, though?
Yeah.
Maybe it was at Jamie Oliver's restaurant. I had a delicious lemon meringue
pie.
Did you?
Yeah, because lemon...
Maybe.
Okay, because casserole was on that list. Lemon meringue pie was on that list.
No, pierogies, not just casserole. Tuna casserole.
Tuna casserole. And pierogies were definitely on the list of the whitest foods.
Yeah. So uncomfortable.
That's it. I've never really heard it said like that, but there's no reason that casseroles have to be beige. They can still have attitude and spice and vigor.
I didn't mean whitest as in the food. I mean like white people food.
Yeah, and I stick to the same answer. I think you can still in beige as in don't be boring. I mean like casseroles. No, I'm in for casseroles, man. I'm in for everything. The whitest food. Yeah, I don't really know what the whitest food is, but definitely the most British food. has got to be like beans on toast. No one in the rest of the world really understands that. I mean, these baked beans are not good in the UK. I mean, they're only good because we're like used to them. They're not good because they're good. And when your European brothers come over and go, why is everyone going nuts about these beans? They're like full of sugar and they taste like rubbish.
Okay. Yo, let me tell you though, both my parents lived in England for a long time. That's where they met. That's where they got married. Yeah. Right? Love, love, love beans and toast.
Really?
Yeah. My moms would go to like No Frills or whatever and buy like a case of Heinz beans.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Catherine's parents are from the UK as well, and she grew up eating something called a chip buddy, I think, which is two pieces of white bread buttered with French fries in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yo, let me tell you though, that actually kind of sounds delicious.
Right? Thank you.
I eat that. Sure.
We have Jamie Oliver's cookware at home, and Catherine, I guess over the summer, put one of his pots in the oven and then took it out and left it on the counter and then went to, she was cleaning up and the top of the pot was still super hot. And Jamie Oliver has his name on all his cookware engraved into his cookware.
Sure.
And it burned her arm. So for a while, all summer long, Catherine had a burn, but in the middle of the burn, you could clearly read on her arm, Jamie Oliver.
Oh, snap!
It was like she was branded by Jamie Oliver.
New tattoo alert.
Yeah.
So I have to show you this. So our host, Roz, tweeted this out. This is a photograph of something that happened to his girlfriend. So they were cooking, and she, I guess, somehow burned herself with one of your amazing pots, and it says on her arm, Jamie Oliver. Does this mean you now own her?
Wow. So you're telling me that she's got my name embossed on her arm?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, she really has. Oh, Kitty, I'm so sorry. What happened? I mean, how did you get the bottom of my pan hot on you?
Put it in the oven.
Bless her. Oh, but pots can go in the oven, but they're generally not supposed to go on your arm. But
well, this kind of means you've branded her. Like, it's like a prison thing. Well, you own her.
I don't think it means I branded her. I think she branded herself. But, you know, hopefully the size of my name on the pan will give some relief to the burning around it. So, yeah, sorry about that. Roz, I'm sorry, brother, but she's mine.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
My least favorite days on this show are when I have to sit here and talk to knuckleheads about ghosts. Maury, my love, please join us again. So we were just talking about Maury's run-in.
That has changed my life forever.
With a ghost.
Fake.
And
when you've seen a ghost once, it really changes how you look at life.
Stop it, stop it.
So where were you?
I was in Winnipeg.
Okay.
At what is...
Ooh.
Scary Winnipeg.
Yeah, you were in Winnipeg.
I was in Winnipeg. Yeah. And I was staying at what is considered...
Don't do that voice.
I'm trying to do like scary voice.
Nope.
No, just be normal for a change.
I was in Winnipeg, staying at like what is considered the most haunted hotel in Canada, in the most haunted hotel room.
Why? Do you remember why it was considered to be the most haunted?
Because everybody sees the same ghost, which is a woman wearing a white robe.
Right. Like Meghan Markle.
Right?
Yeah.
You saw Meghan Markle? Okay. Winnipeg?
This was pre-Markle.
So Maury specifically stayed in this room to hopefully see the ghost. And he came back being like, oh my God, guys, I saw the ghost. And he recorded the whole thing. You listen to this and then you judge for yourselves, okay?
So the room is dark and I'm alone.
Okay. That's Maury sleeping, by the way.
Oh, this part here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's sleeping.
That's how you sleep, Maury. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm sleeping.
Daddy's little piggy.
Come on.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Holy The room just got so cold. I'm getting off the bed. Oh my God. I'm now lying on the floor I totally saw Kate at the end of my bed. Woman, white dress is now gone. Wow. I can't. I'm out of here.
Yeah, okay. Come on, Maury.
First of all, it's one of those I guess you had to be there moments.
No, but why put yourself in that position of where you just drum up this drama for yourself? There was no ghost in the room. There are no ghosts.
Did you not hear how I got scared when I awoke?
Yeah, we heard.
Like this.
Oh,
like
my
this.
God.
Yeah, oh, come on.
That is so fake, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who sleeps like that?
I was startled.
Yeah. No, but that was you.
No, that was pre-startled. Yeah. Listen, right here.
Right?
I mean, I've always been told I sleep weird.
Yeah.
Who sleeps like that? It's like you're sipping cocaine while you sleep.
Also, that breathing pattern, if you actually are sleeping, is quite alarming.
Yeah.
People shouldn't breathe like that while they're sleeping.
Yeah. It's like you're sleep stuttering.
Yeah.
I'm scarred for life.
Oh, stop.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I wish there was a candy expert around somewhere. I wish we knew a guy who was a candy expert.
Why are you trolling?
Who is a candy expert? Maury just put his finger on his own chest and went, me? good morning, damn it, Maury. How are you?
Good morning.
All right. So,
question before you talk about candy. Yes, how many chocolate bars did you eat so far this morning, Maury?
Just one small Halloween-sized Kit Kat.
One small Halloween-sized Kit Kat. I was reading an article on Three Musketeers. Remember the Three Musketeers bar?
Yes.
Okay, so Three Musketeers originally...
Wasn't it like a Mars bar?
Originally, similar, right? Yeah, it has like nougat in it or something like that. But originally, the Three Musketeers bar was called Three Musketeers because it had, in one package, it had three different little chocolate bars. One was chocolate, one was vanilla, and one was strawberry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then they changed that. And it was the date in which all of that went down, which I find really interesting. So you can play along too, Mocha. Mm. So I was shocked going through some of these as far as how old some of these candies really are.
Okay.
So, Maury, Mocha, what year were gummy bears invented? What year did gummy bears come out?
1948?
Maury?
1973
is 1980 for gummy bears.
Oh, really?
1980 for gummy bears.
Side note.
Yes.
If you don't want to know how gummy bears are made, do not go searching for the video on YouTube. I watched it the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can eat gummy bears again.
Okay.
And I love gummy bears.
Cadbury cream eggs. Cadbury cream eggs. When were Cadbury cream eggs introduced into the world?
80s. 80s for sure. I'm going to say like 86.
Maury?
I love those so much. Anything Cadbury.
1959.
The Cadbury brothers introduced the Cadbury cream eggs in 1963. 1963.
Serious?
Yep. Reese's peanut butter cups. When were Reese's peanut butter cups first introduced
into
the world?
Those are some old ass chocolates. Let me say 1941.
Maury?
Based on the font, I'm going to go with...
Because that's never changed.
Yeah.
58?
1928 for
really?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That long ago?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, 1928.
Wow.
What about Twix? How long has Twix been around in your world?
I love Twix.
Twix. How long has Twix been around?
1964.
Maury?
82.
79.
Oh my God, I was going to say 79 originally.
Okay, Tootsie Rolls. How long have Tootsie Rolls been around?
Tootsie Rolls.
I will give you sort of clue as to maybe you might get the era. Okay.
I'm going to say Tootsie Rolls have been around for a real long time, like the 20s.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with 19. You know what? I'm just going to go with 1920.
Okay, Maury?
Based on the word Tootsie,
yeah.
I'm going to go with 1898.
Okay, so Tootsie was actually the nickname for the inventor's daughter.
Really?
And that's a yeah,
weird name.
1896 for Tootsie Rolls.
For real?
Dude.
1896
for Tootsie Rolls. Hershey's Kisses.
Oh.
Hershey's Kisses and wrapped in foil. Like wrapped in foil, everything else. The Hershey's Kiss.
1952.
Maury.
71.
Maury says 1971. Mocha says 1952. 1906.
Whoa, for real.
Yeah, 1906.
How did they do it before the machine?
By hand.
Junior Mints.
Oh, Junior Mints. They're so good.
How long have Junior Mints been in our lives?
Not that long. I'm going to say 1977.
Maury?
1942.
1949. Maury? I'm going to say, Maury, if we were going closest, you are slaying this.
Don't mess with me and candy.
Right. Where are we here? Where's the other one that I wanted to do?
Can we do one more?
Yeah, hold on here. Let's do two more here. Okay, so O. Henry. O. Henry. How long has O. Henry been around, Maury?
Oh, I'm going first.
Yeah.
Okay, O. Henry, I would say 1977.
Mocha?
1981.
O. Henry, 1920.
Wow.
1920 okay. For O. Henry.
And last one.
And last one. Here we go. Smarties. Smarties. How long have Smarties been around?
Those are some old ass chocolates.
Not available in the U.S.
1910.
Maury? Smarties.
68.
Yeah, 1949, originally called Candy Pills.
I see why they changed the name.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
It's reading a story on This Is Now, right now, as we are in 2019, the first time ever that we now spend more time on our phones than we do watching television.
I would agree with that.
According to a new study, for the first time ever, the amount of time we spend on our phones finally surpasses the amount of time that we spend watching television.
Yeah, man. I believe it.
Now, here's my question, though.
Okay, yes. Because I think I have a question as well.
Does watching a TV show on your phone count as watching TV, or does it count as using your phone?
That was going to be my question. What if I'm watching Netflix?
Yeah.
My phone.
We now spend, they say, an average of 3 hours and 43 minutes a day looking at our phone and 3 hours and 35 minutes a day watching TV. And based on trends, that gap is just going to keep getting bigger.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you watch Netflix on your phone, is that phone time or TV time?
I'd say that's TV time. Because you're watching it. No,
I say that's phone time.
You say it's phone time.
I say TV too, because I think when they say phone, I think they mean social media, email, text messages. Because
I think they need to define that. I would say watching. Okay, how about this? Let me ask you guys this then. What if you I have a Samsung television at home, right?
Okay, yes.
And I can access YouTube on my television.
Okay.
So if I'm watching a YouTube video on my TV, does that count as TV time?
I would say yes, because you're watching it on the TV. I watch. There are times where I'll watch. YouTube.
So why can I not watch a Netflix show on my phone and have that count as phone time?
But to me, that's watching a Netflix show. Like the only place Matthew and I could have watched Marilyn Monroe's funeral was on YouTube on the TV. So we watched it on TV.
I think that they mean, when they say phone, they mean like phone things. I think that they mean Google.
Like Instagram.
They mean Google apps,
social
games,
media, texting.
Social media, texting. And when they say TV, they mean consuming a television product.
See, I'll have the TV on and just watch, and also scroll through Instagram at the same time and use TV as background.
Like, I will say this, as long as the Emmys are going to recognize Netflix shows as television shows, if you watch one on your phone, you're watching television, you're not on your phone.
But what's the article again? That we spend more time...
We're finally spending more time on our phones than we are watching television.
Oh, so you're saying that this article is talking about spending time on our phone, but not doing TV stuff.
Correct.
Your traditional TV
yes.
stuff. Gotcha.
Yes. I think that that's what they're trying to say, because they don't make mention of, you know, what people are doing. But then what is YouTube then? What is YouTube? Is YouTube considered television?
I think it's where you're watching.
See, they need to make clarification. Yeah. Now I'm just frustrated. Yeah. But anyway, so that's a lot of time though. Let's get to the hours here. So they say that they spend an average of 3 hours and 43 minutes a day looking at your phone.
Yeah.
See, to me, that's low.
What would you say you're at, Moore?
I'd say I'm at least 4 or 5 hours.
4 or 5 hours.
Do you have the screen time function
on
your phone?
No, because I have like an iPhone 6. I don't have your fancy dancy new one.
Let me see here. You keep reading. Let me see.
I'm trying to think of 3 hours and 35 minutes a day watching television as well. I'm not even home for that amount of hours in a day.
That's 6 episodes of something.
Like already?
Yeah. Today.
Already today.
Yeah.
And I hit a spike between like 6 and 6:15.
Yeah.
I spent like 15 minutes on social media, according to the screen time app on my phone.
Wow.
Oh my God, I wish I had that app. I would love to know how much time I'm actually spending on there.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 minutes.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. So there you have it. So for the first time ever, we're now spending more time on our phones than we are watching television.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Read you something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know how autocorrect is always the death of Dammit Maury, right?
Oh, life is the death of Dammit Maury.
So, it started...
Like, autocorrect shouldn't be for people that don't know how to spell.
So it all started. Remember, years ago, there was a video of a husband and a wife, excuse me, and they were in the delivery room and the heartbeat machine was going off. And it was making like a sound, like a beep, beep, beep. And then the dad filmed himself in there with his wife while they were just waiting for the baby to come. And he started rapping. And he's like doing this rap over the monitor.
On the microphone, heart murmur. Dilated. Cervix. What you doing? Cervix. Have a baby.
Right? And so we interviewed him, and then Maury sent out the interview to get some press for it. And he sent it to, I don't even know, 100 people. But Maury wrote in the subject line.
Hundreds of people.
Maury wrote in the subject line. So we interviewed the rapping dad. And Maury wrote in the subject line, heartwarming interview with the raping dad.
And he got roasted all day.
And so Maury last night went to a Barbie party with the hopes of winning a Barbie.
Even that right there just sounds ridiculous.
Okay, so Maury went to a Barbie party last night with the hopes of winning a Barbie.
Yeah.
And I guess this morning he was texting back and forth with somebody from Mattel. Because mm-hmm. Maury's still trying to get himself a Barbie. And Maury wrote the guy, so awesome, love, and really want rabies.
Get out of here. You meant to say Barbies?
Barbie. So it autocorrected Barbies to rabies. So now the guy's like, okay.
Weirdo.
So awesome, love, and really want rabies. Because I looked at Maury, like, what happened, buddy? Maury comes walking out of his office and he goes, oh no, it happened again.
Well, Maury, I really, really hope your dream comes true of getting some rabies.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Going through a new poll where they asked people what their worst fears were. Although they did ask people about ghosts, mm-hmm. and 60% of people on the list say that they've seen a ghost before.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. Hmm. 40% think that their pet has seen a ghost. Stop it. Catherine's convinced that the cat sits in the corner of the bedroom all the time and just stares at the corner between the wall and the closet. And Catherine's convinced that there's something dead that it's communicating with.
Just chilling in the corner like that?
Just staring into the corner. Yeah. In the middle of the night. Like, she'll just sort of wake up and, like, can see the cat just, like, sitting in the middle of the corner.
Just staring?
Just staring into the corner.
I have one question.
Yeah.
When are you guys putting your house up for
sale? Exactly. Stop it. So the list of the greatest fears. Again, ghosts did not make the list of people's top fears, according to this survey.
Dying? Is dying on there? Fear of dying?
Yeah, I guess drowning. Is drowning considered dying?
Yes. Oh my God, that's such a huge fear of mine.
Okay, so
that's why I don't swim.
Number four is, no, you don't swim because you don't know how to swim.
I've never learned.
Right.
You know what? And I only recently discovered or came to this realization a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out where my fear of swimming came from. And I had always told the story, but I never made the correlation.
Right.
It was when I almost drowned in my uncle's pool in California.
But how old?
When I was
a
kid.
When you were a kid?
Yeah. I think I was like, I don't know, 6, 7 maybe.
And you just never went back in?
I never went back in. I'll never forget. I was standing in the shallow end on the steps and I went to take a step and I slipped and kind of slipped further out into the pool and went under. And then all I remember was I was up and down in the water and then I saw my uncle like run out of the house and jump into the pool and get me.
See,
and I think that that's where my fear of swimming comes from.
See, I find it shocking that at 7 years old, you couldn't already swim.
My parents never took me.
They never took you.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, so drowning at number 4 on the list of people's greatest fears. So let me run through this here. At number 10 is rejection.
Oh, zing.
That's a big fear.
Losers.
Tight spaces at number 9.
Yeah, I can see that.
Bees at number 8.
Oh, no, bees. Bees in the trap.
Number 7, failure.
Oh, it's getting depressing.
Right,
man.
That's a big fear, though. Number 6, public speaking.
Yeah.
Number 5 is heights.
Okay, yeah.
Number 4 is drowning.
Yes.
Like you just talked about. Number 3, sharks.
Really?
Yes.
Who'd they ask? People in Florida?
That's wild, huh? Number 2. Okay, so we got 2 left.
Okay.
The two big ones are left. The two big ones are left. I'll give you this. The top 3 are all animals. Okay?
Oh.
So sharks, number 3.
I got it.
What are number 1 and number 2?
Okay, I think
number 2. You want to get in on this, Maury?
I think number 2 is spiders.
Okay.
And I think number 1.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
I think number 1 is snakes.
Yeah.
And I think number 2 is spiders.
Maury, you want to get in on this?
I'm going to say milla or centipedes.
Like a millipede or a centipede. There's 2 left. The top 2.
Either one of those things with all the legs around them.
Okay, so like a centipede. So what's next?
If not a centipede, then I'm going to say cockroaches.
What are the number 2? Oh, good one. But Mocha, you're 100% right. Number 2,
we want
spiders.
Yeah.
Number 1, snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised, actually. I'm surprised that cockroaches aren't on this list.
I remember when I was growing up, a cockroach got stuck in the clock in the microwave.
Yeah.
And it was there forever. So I was always afraid of them.
You could see
it? You could see it. So yeah. I was always afraid of the microwave.
So gross.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
Another one of these online debates happening. Whether the dress was blue or it was, what was the other color? Remember the dress?
Black and blue or golden yellow?
Yeah, black and blue or golden yellow.
Something like that.
And we've already had the debate of whether it's called caramel or caramel.
Caramel.
Caramel. Is it pecan or pecan?
Pecan.
Pecan.
Oh, see? Now, the latest one, is it Reese's or Reese's?
Reese's.
So I see the two debate is whether it's Reese's, so R-E-E-S-I-S.
Yeah.
Or R-E-E-C-E-E-S. Recess?
No,
or
Reese's. Reese's.
Oh, I guess so. Is it Reese's or recess? Recess.
Reese's. Reese's.
Reese's, right?
I've actually heard people say Reese.
No, Reese's if you're talking about one, like Reese peanut butter cup.
So they did a poll and almost 200,000 votes.
Who did a poll?
The internet.
Reese's?
Yeah. No,
the internet.
No, I'll get to what Reese's said. So
61% of people to 39% of people say it's rhesus.
Yeah.
Now, rhesus itself, they're not being all that helpful because someone tweeted them and asked for the answer, and they responded, quote, just like there's no wrong way to eat a rhesus, there's no wrong way to pronounce rhesus.
Yeah, SOBs.
Right?
Come on now.
Come on now.
Just give us an answer.
So here's an old commercial.
There's no wrong way to eat a rhesus.
Oh, Reese's. See, there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
Reese's.
I need to hear more of that because it's cut off.
There's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
Reese's.
Yeah, Reese's peanut butter cup. God, wait. Am I saying it wrong now?
Well, I don't know.
Reese's. Yeah, Reese's.
Like, hold on. Let me put it to you this way. The person's name is Reese. And it's
right?
Their peanut butter cup. So it's yes. Reese's peanut butter cup, like Roz's peanut butter cup.
Right.
It's Reese's peanut butter cup.
Say? Yeah. Hear me, Maury, say Roz's peanut butter cup. It sounds so weird.
Right. Play the commercial one more time.
No.
Okay,
say
go.
Say it again one more time, Maury.
So it's like Roz.
No. Just say the
Roz's peanut butter cup.
Right.
Hold on.
What are you going to do? This is so stupid. Anyway, so it is Reese's. Don't be fools, people.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Say it again, Mort.
Roz's peanut butter cup.
Why do you say it like that?
Roz's.
Your go-to sexy is like you're in some sort of form of distress.
Roz's peanut butter cup.
No, listen.
Roz's peanut butter cup.
Oh,
it's so, like, you got no game when it comes to being sexy, dude. I know we started talking about candy 2 seconds ago, but you're sexy. I'm telling you right now, your go-to is nothing
but
horror.
No one has ever said that's not sexy.
Everybody has said that's not sexy.
Because they're
to
fearful
me in
for
front
their,
of my face.
When they hear that voice, they're fearful for their life, Maury.
Or do they just want Ross's peanut butter cup?
That's when you go, somebody goes, that's not sexy, and your response is this sexy? As you start slicing their ear a little bit.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
All they want is to just eat Ross's peanut butter cup.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maury, what is this audio clip that you sent through of the Bottle Boys? Who are the Bottle Boys?
Okay, so they're like a bunch of guys that have in front of each of them like sort of like a case of like beer bottles or whatever, mm-hmm. and they blow on the top, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then they make the sounds.
They do what? Right.
Like.
Yeah, I gotcha. We know.
And they did it to Despacito, and it sounds awesome.
Hold on, is this all with bottles?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tone differently. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
That's a talent.
It's crazy, right?
I know.
They're super talented. People are so talented, man.
Oh my God. All with bottles?
Yeah. Well, they did. What was the other one they did? Locked Out of Heaven, right?
That's
Bruno
right,
Mars?
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. This one's really great, too.
You guys would like because you're Warzies.
Because we're what?
Warzy Star Wars fans.
Oh.
Who says Warzies?
Don't touch that. Don't touch that.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
See, that theme, though, sounds less menacing.
Right?
keep going.
When
the others come in.
On bottles.
That's what she said.
Good one. Still, it doesn't sound as menacing.
Yeah. God, they're so good, though.
Oh,
Like, it sounds cute, you know?
It's super cute. I know. I know. Like when you dress your baby up like Darth Vader,
yeah,
and make a video of it.
This is the theme song you use.
This is what you're going to use.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Maury, I saw a picture of you that you boasted of you and Matthew dressed. Was it the two little girls from The Shining?
Yes.
In dresses.
That's
right. And wigs.
Yeah.
You both had your glasses on.
So weird.
How did you get Matthew to agree to do that with you?
It was not easy.
No, it was not easy.
Not easy at all.
Because it's a dress, or he just didn't want to play along with you?
Because he doesn't want to get dressed up in a costume, and you know, he was too busy.
Too busy on the weekend. Well, the damn it.
Oh, did you record it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Of course. Of course. The conversation happened in the condo. And of course,
Dammit
Maury recorded what happened when he told Dammit Matthew, hey, I got these costumes from
couples
The Shining.
Costume. Yeah. Oh, no.
The twins.
Oh, no.
It's couples costume time.
I'm not getting into a costume right now.
Why not? It's couples costume.
I am cleaning right now. You're bugging me right now in the middle of cleaning.
You don't do anything for me.
Oh, really? I think you might want to rethink that statement.
Please, costume time.
Maury, get out of my face.
We're gonna be the twin little girl sisters that kill people.
Don't know who they are.
From that movie.
What movie?
You know, the one.
I don't know. That's why I'm, like, wondering.
Where they look the same.
Do
and they're in
know.
A hallway, and it's
no,
scary.
Don't know this.
We're going to be, because we are twins.
We are not twins.
Everyone says we are.
Oh God, our neighbors, if they're hearing any of this.
Can I at least show you the costumes?
Fine. Where do you hide all these things?
Okay, so this is the dress.
I'm not getting into this.
And then this is the shoes.
Where did you get these?
The internet.
Are you spending money on this?
Yeah, it's Halloween.
You spending money on this?
Yes, it's Halloween.
No. Ow! Oh my God!
What did you do?
I cut myself.
On what?
The dress.
Box, Maury.
Oh.
What is this?
Those are the socks that we wear.
Okay, this is not happening.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Just for one photo.
I don't need this for a photo. I do not care.
So we'll just try it on quick.
Oh my God, does it get you to shut up?
Yes. I'll see you in your costume.
Okay.
He put it on, obviously, because I saw the picture. But I didn't know that he was this disgruntled about
it. Yeah, trying to clean.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Devin Matthew does not want to get into this costume. Yeah. Also, Maury, the twin girls from The Shining, they didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, why don't you say we're going to dress up as like the girls from The Shining, not dress up as twin girls who kill people?
Yeah.
Like, that is a hell of a pitch. Little girls who kill people.
Yeah. I mean, the point is, the two of them got into the costume.
Okay. There's Velcro on the back of the dress.
There's no Velcro. This is polyester. Cheap plastic.
Right here, look. And then you just do up the back of the dress.
Tactically going into a paper bag. I think you need to lose some weight before you get in this. It doesn't go.
Yes, it'll go.
The shoes are not going to fit me.
These are an eight.
An eight in women's. An eight in women's is not an eight in men.
So hair just was supposed to come down like that? Yeah, and then we'll put this in the back so you can see the length. You look like Mariah Carey.
I was gonna say, you look like a 40-year-old Jewish mom.
How come yours has more curls than me?
I don't know, but I love it.
Hi!
I'm an ugly woman. Oh my God, I know what it is. I didn't shave.
No, but that's almost funnier. It's just, who cares? It's fine. We're not drag queens, we're little girls.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Podcast.
Halloween tomorrow.
Oh my God. It is.
Oh. You gonna dress up?
Maybe.
You have in the past. You brought in like your Superman costume.
Superman.
Stuff, yeah.
What else do I have?
That doesn't fit
anymore,
though.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Well, are you kidding me? My Superman outfit?
No way.
It sure does.
Uh huh.
Listen, no, you're just trying to troll me. You're trying to get me. I know your tricks. You're trying to get me to wear it tomorrow.
No, I don't know.
I may wear something else tomorrow.
Like
maybe
what?
Darth Vader. I have a Darth Vader costume.
Yeah.
So that might be it.
That's cool. They say that 44% of parents will eat more candy than the kids this Halloween.
40%?
44%.
44, damn.
Yep. According to a new poll, 86% of parents have secretly stolen some of their kids' Halloween candy before.
Oh, hell
yeah. And the average parent who raids a kid's stash ends up eating a quarter of their candy. 44% of parents actually expect to eat more candy than their kids this year. That includes what they steal, plus any leftover candy that they don't hand out to the trick-or-treaters.
I used to have to do like quizzes to get a treat from my Halloween candy bag when I was a kid.
Give me an example of one of the quizzes.
So my dad, like,
so you never got to have any Halloween candy.
My dad would, because I had a little math computer game. So my dad would say, "Okay, get one of them right, and I'll give you a Kit Kat or something from the bag that you want."
Right.
40 years later, you're still waiting for that Kit Kat.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I swear this is true because my dad would eat half of it because I don't remember getting much of it.
Right. That's solid parenting to me.
How
make,
so?
Make the kid work for it.
I did work for it. Sure. I went door to door.
Yeah, no, that's not working for it at all. Because Roxy really doesn't need the candy. So I still have a drawer full of all her candy from last year.
Last year?
Yeah, she loves trick-or-treating.
Why don't you just throw them away? They can't be good now.
No, bring it in. I'll eat it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to throw the candy. It's hard. See, she doesn't want to eat it, but she would, I think, be heartbroken and devastated if she found out that I threw it all away. Yeah.
It's like
I don't think I would throw it all away.
Right? She found the treasure. Don't get rid of it. Let it just sit there so she can go back and admire it every now and then.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. Some of it's going to, like, there'll be bugs.
And she sort of has a little bit of Maury's attitude where she put in the work for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't throw something away that she works so hard to get, even though she doesn't want it.
Say to her, honey,
yeah,
can I throw this out? It's been a year. And let her decide.
Oh, thanks, Maury. Yeah, okay.
Parenting advice 101 from Maury.
Yeah, whenever kids say no.
So, yeah, okay, so let's play.
Roxy's going to say
no. Hold on.
What I'm saying is,
Maury,
if you give a kid an when you go to a kid to give them a little bit of power.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, as Maury is saying, why don't you just give her the option? You're assuming that kids are going to be rational and say yes. But then what happens if she says no? If I give her the option, if I go to her and say, hey, listen, this has been here for a year.
We're going to get more this year.
Would you be okay if I threw this out? Right. Okay, then what if she says no?
Then you say, well, honey, we may get bugs.
Then you're going back on your word. You gave her the option. She said no.
No, but let me explain. Before you give your answer, let me explain that we may get little bugs, and little bugs are bad.
Okay, now you're changing. Now it becomes, do you want bugs as opposed to can we throw the candy out? It's a different question.
Well, we don't want bugs,
right,
but we also don't want your year-old candy in the house.
Okay.
But it teaches her responsibility and not hoarding.
Yes, which it also teaches her that she has the ability to say no.
You cannot speak on responsibility and hoarding,
thank you,
Maury.
You
thank are the most irresponsible and one of the biggest hoarders I know.
Thank and you. I wish I had a parent that said, honey, do we want to throw this out or not? Okay. I wish I was given the option.
Okay, I'm going to look at Mocha right now with my finger pointed at you, Maury. Honey, should we throw this out?
You know what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
You guys want to play Pinched?
Woo!
Yeah.
New game alert.
New game alert. Okay.
This is Pinched. Play.
Okay, so Pinched, trivia-based game. It's Maury versus Mocha. In between them is a giant stack of wooden clothes pegs. If you get a question wrong, you get pinched. Your opponent gets to take a clothes peg, put it anywhere on your body that they see fit. It's the greatest game in the world.
So nervous.
I know, Maury's over there shaking.
So nervous.
Would you like to know your categories, gentlemen?
Yes.
Today your categories are musicals.
Oh,
or musicals. Next category is it pasta or is it pasta? Mocha, I will let you choose the category today. Will you go for musicals or is it pasta or is it pasta?
Second one, because I love pasta.
Okay, now, Maury, can we hear your buzzer, please? And Mocha, yours? There we go. Okay, like spaghetti, only flatter and fatter. Oh, Maury.
Spigatoni.
No.
Fettuccine.
No.
Oh.
Sorry, gentlemen. Linguini was the correct answer. Linguini.
All right.
Italians call them this. Everyone else just calls them bow ties. Maury.
Bow ties.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's not bow ties?
It's not. No, it has a name. It has a name. No.
I don't know. I don't know that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't believe he's got one right. Farfalle is what it's called.
Farfalle.
That's what it's called. Read the box, jabronis.
All right.
Good with everything, but most people just covered in cheese. Maury.
Macaroni.
Yes, sir. Okay, now Maury gets to take a close peg and put it anywhere on Mocha that he wants. Right on the bridge of the nose.
Ow, jeez.
Oh,
that snapped.
I'm so sorry. Let's just go in here.
Okay. Oh, right on the corner of your nostril. Oh, God. Okay. It still hasn't.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that snapped too. Oh, how do you.
Go in the other nostril. I feel bad for your nose ring. Okay.
Okay, it's right on the tip. It's right on the tip of Mocha's nostril. Okay. Sort of like a twisty little thing. Kind of got a dumb name. Mocha.
Fusilli.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Damn it, Maury. Please open your mouth.
Oh, no.
No, not tongue.
No. Not your tongue. The demigorgon.
The demigorgon. Okay. It's pinched, by the way, is what we're playing. Here. Mocha's going right for the corner. Maury's mouth. Oh, God. Okay, last question in the category of is it pasta or is it pasta? Long, flat, stacked, and baked. Mocha.
A lasagna.
A lasagna noodle. That's correct. Okay.
All right, damn it, Maury. Please open your mouth one more time.
Oh, no. Okay, Mocha's going out of the other corner of the mouth. It's like Maury's fish hooked right now.
I'm having a hard time closing my mouth around it.
Okay. Gentlemen, moving on to the category of musicals. I will name the song. You tell me the musical. A Spoonful of Sugar. Maury.
Mary Poppins.
Correct. Oh. What he said, people, was Mary Poppins.
Oh, I don't know anything about musicals.
Ooh. Okay. Where's Maury? Where's Maury going? Right on the eyebrow, the tip of David. The corner of the eyebrow. Oh, God. But you can't get it on, so it's like Maury's making...
I'm just going to go here.
It's like Maury's making it bite him.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Gentlemen, the category of musicals, Over the Rainbow. Maury.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
Incorrect. Mocha.
Dude, it's freaking Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
That's what I was getting at. I wanted to sing the song first.
No. Okay, man. Wow. Mocha for the steal.
Here we go. Open your mouth again.
The top lip.
No,
I'm just going bottom lip now. Okay, I got you. I see what you're doing there.
Oh God.
Oh. Okay, so Maury's got the corners of his mouth and the bottom lip. All right.
Why was this one free? What?
Okay, in the category of musicals. Gentlemen, 16 going on 17. Maury.
Oh, my God. Sound of Music.
Yes, sir.
I knew you were going to get that one.
Super creepy song, by the way.
Oh, right.
Oh, God. Okay. Gentlemen, moving on to the category of musicals now. The final question, which would be Hakuna Matata.
Oh!
Maury.
Lion King.
God damn it.
Hold on here. Okay, what are we at?
Where are you going?
Nose.
Oh, God. Right in the corner of the nose. Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, count them up.
Okay.
One.
Mocha has
two,
one, two, three, four.
Four.
Maury, yeah. Maury has
two.
One, two, three.
Three.
No, Maury, you actually have three.
Oh, no.
Wow. Maury for the win.
Because of the musical.
Maury for the win, gentlemen.
Oh, that's how you win.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Do you have that video of the guy who broke the glass by singing the note? Because apparently you can do that. And I've seen... You see in movies and stuff like this when somebody screams and the glass shatters.
Opera singers.
Thank you. So there's a guy who did a video and he told you how you can make a glass shatter by singing a note.
So how to break a glass using just your voice. First of all, you must wear eye protection.
Oh.
You're going to break a glass right in front of your face. Second of all, make sure you use a crystal glass. Normal glass doesn't seem to work.
Fair enough.
You want to be able to reproduce that tone as loudly, as accurately, and for as long as you can.
Okay, so that's the tone, right? That's the tone. Wow.
Yes!
Yes! So he did it there.
He's going to do it again.
He does it again.
Right, we got to do it twice.
Okay. So that's his voice.
Yeah.
That's his voice.
Wow.
Yes!
So
wow.
There you go.
Play that back, just where that's his voice?
That's
making
his voice.
That sound? Wow. So what you have to do, Maury, you have two glasses in front of you. Which
I have,
one? Are you?
Champagne flute.
And at first I thought that when they said wear protective eyewear, I thought Maury was covered because Maury is wearing his glasses. But then I realized that if you actually are shattering glass, those will probably be the first to go.
Yeah.
And these are glasses. Brand new and expensive.
Right. But also, so you do not have protective eyewear.
We're
okay,
good.
Okay. So what do you have to do, Mocha? He's got to flick the glass. We have two glasses. You pick, Mocha. Do you want the deeper tone or do you want the higher tone?
That one.
Okay, how about this? Here, why don't you try the lower tone first and then see if you could work your way up to the higher tone.
Okay, Maury, here. Match this tone now, okay? Match this tone.
No.
Okay. Do it in a volume because you're gonna have to make a loud. You have to do this loud.
I'm trying to just find the tone first.
No, but you need to project when you do this. So back away from the microphone a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ready? Match this tone. Okay. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Match this tone.
No, is it the first tone or the last tone that I'm matching?
No, it's the actual. It's two parts of a tone.
Okay. Oops.
Do it again. No.
Okay.
No. Go ahead. Okay.
Okay. To me, that sounds like the siren that would go off when the chickens got loose. If that makes any sense at all.
Chickens are out.
Okay, Maury, ready. Okay. Okay. Do you want to try and break this now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you got to hold on to it. So I'll flick it, and then you.
Okay, hold on.
No. You stay back there. I'm gonna flick it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what then you do the thing with your mouth.
That's what she said.
Okay. 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 I'm gonna flick it, and then you make the noise. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shut up, Maury. Okay, it's got to be the same tone, though, bro. Okay.
You're breaking ears right now.
Okay, Maury, you ready? Okay, here we go. Okay, again, it's trying to break a glass with the tone. You have to match the tone to the glass, and then the glass will shatter. It's been done.
What's our problem?
What's our problem? How many guesses do you want?
The answer is Maury.
Okay.
You are the problem.
Okay. Okay, you need to project more. You got to hit this glass with that voice, man.
Okay,
Maury's just stood up now. Okay, are you ready?
Maury's in somewhat of a squatting position.
Yeah, you have to attack this glass with that voice of yours.
Yes.
Okay, now are you ready?
I've been doing it. One more time.
Okay, last time. Okay, big deep breath in. No, Maury, you've got to have more wind in you than that.
That's all the wind.
Come on, man. Okay. You got more than that. Last time. Big deep breath in. Okay, in she goes.
Winded.
That body of yours is really only good for about 3.5 seconds worth of air, huh?
It really is.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I discovered something yesterday that I had no idea what this animal sounded like either in the most gloriously adorable way. There's a woman. What does a porcupine say? What sound does a porcupine make?
Oh, God, I don't know.
See? You ever heard a porcupine say anything?
Never seen a porcupine in real life. Maybe at the zoo.
Right. But like you never know. Nobody knows the sound a porcupine makes, right? No. So there's a woman that has a porcupine called Teddy Bear. And I guess the porcupine.
As a pet?
Yeah. The porcupine thinks it's like a dog. And the porcupine gets so excited when he eats stuff. So for Christmas, on a little tray, the porcupine got 4 cobs of corn.
and the porcupine holds the cob of corn like a person holds a cob of corn.
Get out of here.
And eats it and turns it.
With its two little paws?
With its two little paws.
That's the cutest thing ever.
Okay, but here, listen to this. The woman's voice, you know when some people make videos of their kids, and instead of just letting the video do the talking, they over-talk the video? Sure. This woman kind of does that, but listen to this. Listen to with the porcupine. Listen to how excited this porcupine is, okay? Listen to this. This is Teddy Bear the porcupine finding four cobs of corn on Christmas morning.
Well, here he is. Teddy Bear the porcupine enjoying some treats that Santa left him. Oh, Teddy. What did you find under the tree? What is it?
Get out of here.
Just listen, listen.
Come here, Teddy. Show me what he gave you. Yeah?
Whoops.
What else do you have? Yeah. How many other pieces? Oh my goodness. Two, three, four.
No, that's not real. That can't be real. Is it real?
Yeah.
And it's all for you. Yes, it is. Is it good? No.
Yo, you know what it sounds like?
I have a feeling it's very good.
Dude, it sounds like friggin' Gizmo from Gremlins.
It does.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's that. Now here's quickly, I'll play you this one.
Okay.
This is Teddy Bear the Porcupine. This is a woman who has a porcupine as a pet.
Yeah.
The porcupine thinks it's a dog. So this is for Halloween. And out in the backyard on the picnic table, she puts a bucket of like 10 tiny little adorable pumpkins.
Okay.
And this is the porcupine discovering the little pumpkins are for him.
Hold on. Before you hit play.
Yeah. 10 million views.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not deceiving, right?
No.
My eyes aren't deceiving me.
No, 10 million views for Teddy Bear the Porcupine.
God.
So listen to this little dude talk. It's the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I think Teddy Bear found some pumpkins for Halloween. What'd you find, Ted?
Get out of here.
Pick it up. Can you get it? Pick it up.
And he uses his little hand.
Oh, God.
Good boy. Oh, what is it, Teddy? Pumpkin? Can you say pumpkin?
No way! Dude, that
looks
so
good.
Wild! That's the sound wild
that a porcupine makes when he's super happy.
Wow. It's crazy, dude.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to pitch you this great idea that Maury pitched me yesterday for something to do on the show. And I'm going to pitch it in the exact same way that he pitched it.
Okay.
You ready for the brilliant idea?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. If we were living in the Middle Ages, what role would you play? Would you be a king, a noblewoman, a bishop, a priest, a monk, a friar, a servant, a minstrel, or a merchant?
King.
Right? And then I'm like, well, what do we do after that? There's not much of a discussion of who you would be. First of all, how do I know what I would be in the Middle Ages? I might have been born blind. I don't know. Scurvy might have got me.
Right.
It's a ridiculous conversation.
Sure.
And so...
What are the circumstances?
There was no circumstances.
Were you born into a rich family?
Right, but again, it's
Could
just...
Could you be a knight?
It's just absolute nonsense. Nobody cares about this.
Right.
So...
It's not a discussion.
It
happens a lot.
No, it's not.
Or any time.
It's not relatable in any way. And this was about the third time I was ignoring Maury yesterday.
No, the
yeah,
third?
The third time. Because you never know. Like, when Maury calls you, it could either be something, I got an idea for the show, or it could be, hi, I just want to get your opinion on something. And I'm like, what? And he's like, friend of Matthew's wants to borrow my Sex in the City DVDs, and I told him that we didn't have them, but Matthew said that we did have them, and now I don't know what to do.
And I'm like, I have no opinion on that, actually. I have no opinion. So the last messages that I got from Maury were, hey, I'm sorry if
No, you have to do it in the voice.
Oh, I'm sorry if I was at a line. Sorry if I was at a line sending you those pictures. I'm very sorry. OMG, say something. Now you're freaking me out. When someone says sorry, the other person has to say something back, and then I just ignore them. But the weird thing when you talk to Maury is that you can have a conversation with Maury, and then you hang up the phone, and 2 seconds later, this is the weird thing. Imagine this for 1 second. Imagine you have a conversation with somebody on the phone, right? And it doesn't go well, and you're frustrated. And then you hang up the phone, and you're like, oh, God, geez, damn. And then 2 seconds later, your phone buzzes again, and what is on that message is a file of that phone conversation you just had. So
that is
so
freaky.
It wasn't necessarily Maury wanted to find out who we would be if we were in the Middle Ages. It's just that he wanted to torture me on the phone by quizzing me about who we would be during the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Oh, well then I'm here to entertain you.
Okay.
Was wondering if we were in medieval times.
Medieval?
We're in what?
Medieval.
Medieval?
Back in the day, like jesters and stuff.
Medieval.
The Middle Ages.
Okay.
What role you would play.
Oh, God.
What role Mocha would play, and what role I would play. I was thinking you'd be the minstrel.
Is this something that you want to do on the show? Like, you want us to do a play?
Oh, I never thought of that. I just was wondering, like, if...
Then why are you asking me this?
Well, because I was just curious, like, what role... Do you think that you would be the minstrel? Because I don't think that you would be the king.
Okay.
I also don't think that you'd be the knight.
Oh, my God. What do you want me to say?
No, I'm just curious. What role you think you would play? I think certainly Mocha would play, like, the friar.
What?
I could be the noble woman.
The noble woman.
The one that does the chores and the house servant.
Okay.
Because I just don't think that I'm cracked up to being... Oh, I could be a merchant.
What is this list you're reading from?
The people of the Middle Ages. And I was thinking you'd be the minstrel.
The medieval.
Okay.
What do you think?
You got that fat monk belly.
I do not.
Stop torturing me, dude. I'm so busy.
Then give me an answer. What do you think you'd be in the medieval?
I don't care. I hate these questions.
My king?
Don't torture me.
Or are you the
don't
Lord? Do you think you're
don't
the Lord? Can you at
yes.
least do the Lord? Oh, my God. Can you do the voice like my Lord?
No. That's for you to do if I'm the Lord.
Well, then what does the Lord voice sound like?
Like this.
I was so angry.
Oh no!
I had the worst day too, and I was
oh,
so angry.
No! If this was the medieval, you'd have his head chopped off by now.
If we were in medieval times.
Great idea, Maury. So cool. Can't wait to do it on the show.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
I want to talk to you about eating real quickly.
Okay.
Because the ways that we all eat, we all have our own little sort of weird things that we do, and maybe we don't even know that we do them.
Okay.
BuzzFeed did this list. For the most part, it's absolute nonsense, but there's a couple things on here that I want to get your opinion on.
Sure.
So, question, do you ever eat food that's fallen on the floor?
Yes.
Maury?
All the time.
All the time. I dropped a chip last night on the floor, and I picked it up without even looking at it because I was watching a show, and I put it in my mouth, and when I put it in my mouth, I put it in my mouth with about 5 or 6 cat hairs attached to it.
But what did you do then?
No, because here's the thing. It was the last chip. There was no more in the bag. It was the last one that
you
I dropped on
it.
The floor. So
yeah.
I didn't spit it out. I ate it with the hair and all.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why
didn't
you take
agree.
It out, dust it off, put it back in?
No, because it was mushy.
Oh yeah,
the hair was on the underside, so it went tongue, hair, chip. So I didn't realize there was hair until I started chewing the chip, and then it unearthed the hair that was there, and then I felt the hair. The hair made its way to one side of my mouth with a little bit of chip, but it was the part of the chip that had the most flavor. And at that moment, I made the decision to not spit it back
out.
But
it's your own. If it was someone else's cat, then that wouldn't be. It's your own cat.
It's still cat.
Yeah, cat's still cat.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're doing when you're not around.
Yeah.
Going outside. outside mucking around and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you one of the grossest? Not gross. I mean, it's not gross now.
100%. You don't even have to ask permission.
Earlier this year,
yeah,
where my wife was like, on the carpet, is that like a piece of dog poop or is that like chocolate that we were eating just now?
Oh no.
Oh no.
And I was like, I don't know. She's like, can you pick it up? So I picked it up.
Yeah.
And I smelled it.
Yeah.
And it didn't smell like poop at the time.
Yeah.
So I put it in my mouth.
Shut up.
It was chocolate.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. See,
but I love chocolate so much.
You ripped this off of an ending.
I love chocolate so much, I was willing to take the risk.
It's so gross.
Sorry.
So gross. Do you ever lick your plate clean?
Never.
Yes, it depends. If you're having spaghetti.
I knew you were going to say yes.
Like, my 7-year-old licks her plate clean.
Yeah, but if it's spaghetti.
Ew, but don't you get. How do you. Let me ask you a question, Maury. How do you not get it all over your nose?
Oh, no, you do.
You do.
And then I ask Matthew to lick it off my nose. He never does.
No. So you get right down there. Do you eat your spaghetti in a bowl or in a plate?
On a plate.
Okay.
Hold on. Well, and then you get sauce on your nose and then you ask your husband to lick it off your nose? I'm
trying to be romantic.
Okay, you're disgusting.
Oh, but picking up chocolate poo is okay.
Okay. Do you ever, this is the one that I wanted to get to though.
Okay.
Do you ever eat something that's hot and then spit it out, wait for it to cool, and then pick that piece back up and put it in your mouth and eat it?
Yes, I have done that before, yeah. For sure.
Potato, steak, like anything that could be hot.
Steak?
So, all foods.
How are you eating a steak that's too hot to
eat? Like right off the BBQ.
No, why are you doing that more? You never eat a steak right off the barbecue.
Yeah, you're supposed to let it sit for a couple minutes.
I know, but it smells so good and buttery.
I know, but more, you're ruining your steak when you do that.
I know, but I don't want to wait for my meat.
Yes, you just have to. I'm telling you, man, you take a steak, you take it off the grill, you put it on a plate. Don't cover it with tin foil. Don't poke it. Don't touch it. Don't do anything. Just leave it for 10 minutes. Just leave it alone.
I had pizza.
Oh, where that's the worst.
Super hot, and you burn the roof of your mouth, and then a little bit of skin starts peeling off. But I've spit out a piece of pizza that's been in my mouth that has been too hot back onto the plate, and then as soon as it cools off, I eat it again because it's pizza.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. What is worse? Burning the roof of your mouth with a piece of pizza or cutting the roof of your mouth with a piece of sharp toast? Do you ever get that? You ever eat toast that's too crunchy and you get a little piece of skin hanging down off the top of your mouth?
I would say that's worse than hot.
I think cutting with the toast.
Toast is worse than pizza?
Yeah, a toast cut? Yeah.
That'll heal quicker. I mean, then for the rest of you, everything you eat
heal
will
the same.
And I had a hole.
But it's that initial slice.
Yeah, it is. I had that. I had a hole in the top of my mouth that I cut with a piece of toast, and then I just packed it with cat hair.
Your cat?
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
I tell you over the weekend how I almost got murdered in leather pants?
No? Man. How could you forget that?
I don't know. So, I'm up at the cottage.
Yeah.
And I've built myself a fortress.
Of course.
I have security cameras. There's a gate, everything. Like, I'm locked in there. I have no neighbors, nothing.
Fortress of solitude.
I'm in the middle.
You're Superman.
I'm Superman. Uh-huh. I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
And we're lying in bed. Catherine and I are lying in bed. And
you're wearing leather pants?
No, I'm not wearing leather pants.
Are you wearing tight pants, though?
No, I'm lying in bed. We're sleeping.
Oh, okay.
We're sleeping. And so keep in mind when I tell this story that we are in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Sure.
And I have security cameras, yeah, and the whole place is gated.
It's perfect for an alien abduction.
Thank you. So we're lying in bed in the morning, and I can't do it with this music on. You got to put something better on for me. Like, put your scary music on.
Oh, you want scary music?
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I almost got murdered in leather pants. So, we're lying
actually,
in...
Actually, no, I don't like that one.
Oh.
No, I don't like
that.
Oh, this
I like that one.
Oh, this.
Okay, so we're lying in bed, and Catherine wakes me up, and she goes, "Roz, someone's knocking at the door." Keep in mind, I am in the middle of nowhere.
Security cameras everywhere.
Everywhere. And I go, "What do you mean?" And then she looks at me, and we both sort of like peek up a little bit, and all we hear is this. And I'm like, "That's nobody at the door." And then she's like, "No, seriously, somebody's at the door." And then I'm like, "Oh my God." So I jump out of bed. I walk to the end of the bed.
Put on your tight pants.
I grab leather pants.
Yeah.
Because that's just what was there.
Sure. It's always
so
there.
I grab leather pants and I throw leather pants on.
Yeah.
No shirt. And I go sneaking out of the room. And as I open the door, I'm listening and I'm like, there's nothing. And I look back at Catherine and I'm like, babes, there's nothing. I hear nothing. And then she looks at me and goes, I know what hears this.
At the front door.
And at this point, I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God, Conjuring is here.
So I have to then be the guy that goes to investigate. My family's in the house, and we are in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God, is it the Babadook?
So we're in the middle of nowhere, and as I start walking, I realize my leather pants are making noise as I'm walking down the hallway.
What kind of noise?
Just like a squishy, sort of like swishy, leathery sound. You know when you wear leather pants and you sit on a leather car seat? And
oh, yeah. Kinda... I know the exact. Okay.
So that's the sound that it makes. So I almost get murdered in leather pants. So I then go walking, and in my head, I go from thinking about my family's safety to thinking about if I right now turn around this corner and there's somebody at my front door who kills me, I will die in leather pants.
With no shirt on.
And I know when Catherine then gives a police statement, the statement is going to go something like, we heard a noise, he got up, put leather pants on, went to the door and got murdered. And the policeman will say, well, why did he put leather pants on?
And she will say,
I don't know.
Because it's all about that leather pant life.
And then the headlines will eventually read, Roz Weston killed at the cottage. And then the headlines, the information will start coming out, and it'll be Roz Weston killed while wearing leather pants. And then headline will be Roz Weston killed while wearing only leather pants. And then it doesn't matter after that point what story Catherine would tell. The only story that would matter was that I got murdered wearing only leather pants. So at this point, I'm like, I need overalls and a tool belt in the bedroom for just this occasion. And then I start thinking, no, the headlines would read, Roz Weston murdered wearing tool belt and only overalls. So I turn around the corner. I turn around the corner ready to fight for my life wearing only leather pants.
Yeah.
And there was just a stupid bird sitting on the window tapping my window with its beak.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So Maury was creeping into your neighborhood, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Maury was creeping in my neighborhood, and he went down, talked to a whole bunch of kids.
Roz, that is not my Halloween costume. Don't.
You want to set it up or just?
Yeah, even though it wasn't raining out, Maury was totally—he was soaking wet.
Roz, that is not my Halloween costume. Don't be silly. But I am standing behind the tree, looking at your house right now, and I see you.
So weird.
Stan Memory on location, talking to kids about Halloween, if they've ever seen a ghost, and what they think a ghost looks like. Okay, what is a ghost? Describe a ghost to me. What is a ghost?
White.
All right, and what is a ghost? How would you describe a ghost?
Well, it's a figure that's like see-through, and then it's white, and yeah.
Okay, give me your best scary voice.
I am gonna kill you.
When was the last time you were scared?
I saw a scary ghost.
You saw a ghost? What did the ghost say?
Hello.
He said hello, and what did you do?
I punched him in the belly.
And give me your best scary voice.
I am going to kill you.
All right, what is a ghost? What is a ghost?
A ghost is a see-through dead person that comes through walls and scare people. A ghost is a mortal spirit just without the body itself. So, like, it's the your spirit. So, say, if you're dead and, like, your spirit leaves your body.
Uh-huh. All right, what would be scarier, a ghost or Donald Trump as our president?
Donald Trump is our president.
Give me your best scary voice. Have you ever seen a ghost?
I have never seen a ghost, but one time when I was in the girls' washroom with my friend, the dryer came on all by itself and we weren't even near it.
How would you describe a ghost?
White, maybe wearing white. Yeah.
Well, my friend was a ghost, so I already know. He, like, has a chain and he has swirls here and then a flat top here. Ghosts are always white.
What would you say if you saw one?
I'd say, I'm gonna kill you.
Talk to me about ghosts. How would you describe what a ghost is?
It's a dead person who you can't feel, but you just go right through them. They're white.
A lot of white ghosts, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of white ghosts.
A lot of white ghosts.
Almost all of them are white.
I'm going to kill you. Kids are the best.
Thank you, Dan Mamori. That was very, very, very funny.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Powered by Air Transat. Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.